If you do not have a Bible with you, there are some Bibles placed right in between the hymnals, right in front of you. That's the black book. Acts chapter number 3. We've been looking through the book of Acts here for a little while now, for a few weeks. And what we're trying to focus on is the differences between the church back then in the first century and the church that we have today. The first century church versus the 21st century church. And we see how God was able to do great and mighty things during this time period. And we want to see how God can once again do great and mighty things in our midst too. Acts chapter number 3, we begin to see off they had the day of Pentecost last week. We saw that 3,000 people were saved. We talked about what true salvation is when people repent of their sins and they feel God's conviction upon their heart and they turn away from religion, they turn away from trusting in other things and turn to God and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. Chapter number 3, we see here that Peter and we see John. We see the first recorded miracle after the beginning of the church, the empowering of the church. And last week we preached the message that, you know, when they were saved, they were baptized. And then what? And we looked at the different things that are successful in making a church. We talked about staying in the apostles' doctrine, the word of God. We talked about how fellowship is important. We talked about examining ourselves and the breaking of bread and the communion. And we talked about prayers. So in chapter number 3, we see, we don't know how much time has transpired from those first couple days when the 3,000 were saved and how they were working together. They were living in a sense in a communal way. They were helping one another, all those different things. And in chapter number 3, we see the first story after all those events take place. Chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." So if we see here that Peter and John, they're together, they're heading up and they are praying. We see the importance of prayer. Verse number 2, "And a certain man lame." Now I want you like to see the description here. He is a lame man, which means he's unable to walk. He doesn't have the strength or the power in his legs and his bones to be able to walk from his mother's womb. So we learn a little bit more about him is that he was a gentleman who was been lame his entire life, was carried, saying this is how he got around. The only way he could get around was being by carried. We have wheelchairs today. We have other things today that help us. Back then, at least to this man, the only way he could get from one spot to another, "whom they laid daily." Now you see here that it's every single day this happens at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Now this temple, this gate is called Beautiful because of the design and the beauty of it. It is a beautiful place. "And why was he laid there every day?" It says, "to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." So every day he was carried to this one location. He was picked up and carried home. His only means of survival, the only way he could make a living or just enough to survive off of, was asking people for money. Verse number 3, it says, "who seeing," referring to the man who was lame, "seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms." So he turns and he asks them for alms. And verse number 4, "and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us." So I get this idea in this picture, and I try to paint a picture when I'm studying, is this man is lame. He's sitting there. He's been there every day for probably at least 20 years of his life, and he has become so downcast so much that he sees somebody coming, and he puts his head down, and he says, alms. And so Peter and John says, "Hey, look, I want you to look at me." And here, and it says in verse number 5, it says, "and he gave heed unto him," meaning he listened. He looks up and he focuses on Peter and John. Why is he doing this? He's expecting to receive something from them. He says, expecting to receive something of them. He's wanting some money. He thinks he's going to get some money. Finally, someone's going to listen. Verse number 6, "then Peter said, silver and gold have I none." Now I'm sure this devastated the man, thinking, well, why did you have me look at you? And then he says, "but such as I have, give I thee." Peter was saying, look at me. And he was a poor man. He was a fisherman. He would not be dressed in the finest of clothes. He's saying he pretty much is pulling out his pockets and says, look at me. He's like, I don't have anything to give you. I don't have any silver and gold to give you. He says, but such as I have. And he's saying, look, I do have something that you could use. Give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and Peter extends his hand out. He picks him up by his right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, and you see this word leaping, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and once again and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now, we're going to take a little bit of time, and we're going to look at this thought. This title of the message is, What People Need. What People Need. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the service today. Lord, I pray that you help us, or we know that there are lots of things that we think we need in this world. And Lord, I pray as we look at this passage of Scripture and this story, help us recognize some of the things that we really, truly need and how we need to try to help meet the needs of others, Lord, by giving them you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we see here, the first thing I want you to see is what Christians need or what the disciples needed. Peter and John, they're walking together and they're headed to the temple and they're going to pray. Now, I want to remind you that just here recently, Peter and John was part of the people that preached, and there was over 3,000 that were saved, and they were joined together, and they were united together by the Bible and through fellowship and through the Lord's Supper and through praying. Now, sometimes when there's a great revival that happens, you know what happens? Sometimes there's a let off afterwards. Peter and John doesn't let this happen. Peter and John make a priority here. What is their priority? They know that they need something. And they know they need something they cannot manufacture themselves. They know they need something that they cannot work up themselves. They know that they need something, and that is God and God's power. We see that the entering into the temple, we're not talking about some wicked sinner. We're not talking about someone who does not know God. We're talking about the two that were maybe the most influential of all the disciples that were going together, and they recognized they needed something. They needed God's power and they needed God's help for living. So they're going to the temple to pray. Don't let us ever get to the point where we don't realize how much we need God's power, how much we need God's help, and that we stop praying. One of the worst sins that you can have is not praying. Being a prayerless people is something that will cause our hearts and lives to be so far away from God that we'll never really truly understand God's power and presence. We are in need of the Lord. And that's what Peter and John here, they realize this. They know they need to pray. They know they need God's power. And we've been learning about this in Sunday school class, that how the Holy Spirit of God calls you to a ministry this morning. And we talked about in Sunday school class how it was a clear call and how we should be committed to that call. But it's only the Holy Spirit of God that empowers us, that enables us, that gives us the strength to be able to do the ministry that God's called us to do. As simply put, is that He is our power source. We gave a couple of illustrations in Sunday school. We talked about how if you have a light, and if it is an electric light that you have to plug in, that you can hold the light up all you want, but there's not going to come any light out of it until you're connected, until you plug it in, until there's a power source that happens. And the Holy Spirit of God is the power source of the Christian. You must be connected in. You must be living for Him. You must be depending upon Him if you ever truly want to have the power of God on your life. The Bible, remember Jesus told the disciples back in Acts chapter number 1, He says, hey, I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to sit and wait till the promise comes. What was the promise? It was the filling of the Holy Spirit. He says, I don't want you to go out and try to minister on your own. I don't want you to go out and try to reach the world on your own. I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to sit and I want you to wait till the Holy Spirit's power and filling of the Holy Spirit happens, because in your own strength and in your own power, nothing good's going to come out of it. The Bible even says that Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That last phrase, for without me, ye can do nothing. Christians, there are some things that we have need in this room, and some people think that the greatest need is that we need the world to get right, or we need to have so less sinning, or we need this, we need more money, or we need more talents, or we need more this, need more this. What we need is a new filling of the Holy Spirit of God. We need God's power. We need God's presence in our life. And the only way that's going to happen is when we, like Peter and John, when we understand the importance, we need to pray. We need to seek God and need to seek God's face for His power. Now, not only you see this, it's kind of interesting. You see in verse number 1, it says, now, Peter and John. This is one of the first times you ever see, maybe even the first time in Scripture, you see those two together by themselves. See, back then, Peter and John, It was always James and John together, Peter and Andrew together. They were completely different people. Peter was the vocal one. John was a little bit more quiet. Peter was the one that was the doer. John was more of the dreamer one. Their personalities probably would have caused them to clash a little bit. Even remember when Jesus is telling Peter that he was going to give his life in a similar way that he had died. Peter looks at him and says, well, what about him? I don't know if the Bible really says that there was some type of rivalry there, but we know that there's competition there a little bit. And you see what happens after Calvary? You see what happens after the filling of the Holy Spirit? What happens there? They come together. They're combined together. As we looked at last week, you're saved, you're baptized, and then what? You're supposed to be able to fellowship together. They're in one accord, we learned about last week. They had the same heart. They had the same mindset. They know that they need God's power. They know that they need God's strength. And dissension among the brethren is not going to bring God's power. It's not going to bring God's strength. What is going to bring God's power and strength is when the Christians can unify together and they can pray and they can seek God and seek God's blessing. The next thing I want you to see here is that what a Christian needs. We see, first of all, they needed to pray because they knew that they needed God's power. The Bible says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It only comes through prayer and through the power of the Holy Spirit. But they need to see the needs of others. What does a Christian need? We need the power of God. How do you get that? Through prayer. We need to be able to unify together around the doctrine like we talked about last week, around the Word of God, to have a certain common goal and practice and be working for the glory of God and to see people saved. We need to see the needs of others. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Well, you read in this story, it says in verse number 2, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate. Began to get me thinking a little bit as I was reading. Okay, there's this lame man. He's been lame all his life. Well, what's special about him? Well, he was carried daily. And you think about it, this is not a place that Peter and John had not been before. To be honest with you, I think this is a place that Jesus probably had been before. You remember the pool of Bethesda when they had where Jesus healed the impotent man. There was tons of people there that was sick and that was diseased and then that needed to be healed. But we only hear about that one man. And I can only imagine and think that there was probably more than one person that was here and that Peter and John had walked past this person many times before. But what was different about today? Why was today going to be the day that he was healed? I don't have that question, but I think today Peter and John realize something. They see the needs of others. And let me try to just be kind about this and try to be understanding, but many times Christians and believers have something that the world needs, and we walk past people that need it all the time. We get so used to seeing sin. We get so used to seeing people living wickedly. We get so used to seeing people sick and in need of the Savior that we walk right past them all the time, never stopping, try to help them. Something a Christian needs is they need the power of God, and they get that through prayer. They also need to be unified in a work for Jesus Christ, but they need to learn to look for people who are needing. People who are in need of Jesus Christ. People who have a need. They need to be sensitive to the Word of God. They need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit of God can do through them and with them. And every single day. And back then, Jewish times, they would pray 3 times a day. You see what it's talking about being the 9th hour. That's referring to 6 o'clock. The devout Jew went there 3 special hours a day. They went at 9 o'clock in the morning, they went to midday at noon, and they went there at 3 p.m. So every day you see them passing by the same individual over and over and over. But today, there's something different about them. Today, they see his need and they reach out and help. I'm not saying that I have the answer to everything, but I know that if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, you will see the needs of others. I know it's very easy to walk past somebody who maybe dresses a little bit differently, or maybe acts a little bit differently, or says they're from a different religion, or they say they're from a different cult. They say that they have a need, and you know that they are in need of Jesus Christ, and you know that they need the saving power, the washing of His blood, and we walk right past them every single day, never stopping, never trying to say, hey, look, I have something you need. So the first thing I want you to see is what the Christian needs. Believe me, we need the power of God. So often we try to do this Christian life, we try to play church, we try to do all these other things without God's power, without God's presence. And the Bible says that it all is meaningless without Him. If it's not done in love, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's nothing but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It's nothing but blah, blah, blah. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have any purpose. We need God's power, and that's why we need to pray. We need to see like John and Peter. Yes, they saw 3,000 people saved, and they saw 3,000 people baptized and added to their church, but they never came to the spot where they said, well, I'm so big and I'm so bad, I don't need God's help anymore. No, this helped them realize how much they needed Him. And Christian, that's something you need today. We need the power of God. Not only do we need the power of God, we need to be working together. We see Peter and John here working together and joining together for a certain cause and purpose. And then we also see how we need to realize the needs of others. The second thing I want you to see is not only what the Christian needs in this story, I want you to see what the world needs in this story. What the world needs. See, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it's talking about Jesus, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That when Jesus saw the multitudes, you know what they saw? He says, look, they're people. They need me. They need Christ. They need me. He was moved with compassion. When we see the multitudes, when we see the masses, how is our heart affected? Are we somebody looking at that and seeing people involved in some type of wickedness or some type of sin, saying, boy, they need Jesus Christ. Boy, they need to hear the gospel. Boy, I wish God would use me somehow to win them to Christ or help send someone to Christ, and we pray for them? Or do we look at them and say, man, look at all those evil, wicked people. They deserve what they're going to get. That's not the way Jesus looked at them. It was a move of compassion because he understood the world's needs. What the world needs. The truth of the matter is the world's in a mess. The world is filled with hopelessness. We read the story, and I think about this young, you go back and you try to remember what this young boy must have been like. Imagine when a husband and a wife, they get to have the ability to have a child. And not only back in Jewish cultures, not just having children was important. They got to have a boy. Isn't it better to have boys than girls? I'm just joking. You know, I have two boys. Yeah, I think girls are important too. But they're sitting there and they are excited about this child. I don't know, at birth, did they recognize that his legs are different? Or was his body so to the point that where they could tell that the baby was going to have problems? Or did they not notice it maybe till when they were 6 months old or 9 months old? Many of you know I have a younger brother. We call him Junior. We call him Junior because his first name is Downard, and that's a name that's been passed down through generations at the Pease family. And I'm thankful that I didn't get stuck with the name Downard. But they call him Junior, and it wasn't until he is, most of you know, he's very severely mentally handicapped. He has something called Angelman syndrome. He has the mind probably of a 6-9 month year old type mindset, and the motor skills of about a 2-year-old. And he's a grown man. He's 10 years younger than me. He's 32 years old. But it wasn't until he was about 6 months, then 9 months year old, that we realized there's something different about him. Until he was about a year old, and then they started having him checked out. And believe me, when that happened, obviously God's worked in our lives through Junior. I know I'm a different person today than I was when I first knew because of the compassion God has given me through the life of Junior in my life. But I remember back those days when the concern came. And then they began to deal with the seizures. And they began to deal. He was different. He was special. And the heartache that came along with that. And the heartbreak that came along with that. And it's how much God has taught my family through Junior. And we love him to death. He is a great guy. And he's still at home with my mom and dad because my parents feel like, hey, he's their responsibility. God gave them to me, and we're going to keep him as long as we can. And I'm thankful for that. But I can only imagine how much heartache this family went through. Mom and dad see their child, and the child they plan on someday rising up and taking over maybe whatever the family business is. But that can't happen. This man is hopeless. I'm sure the mom and dad did everything they could, went to whatever doctors they could. They did everything they could to try to see this man be healed, but it just didn't happen. And now, and you'll see the story is in chapter number 4, then when Peter and John get in trouble for healing him, this man's over 40 years old. He's like my age, really old, like 42. And he and you take it, and he says for over 20 years, he lays there, and the only hope he has is for someone to pity him and show him charity when he says alms. See, he has a great need. He's hopeless. He's helpless. But he thinks his greatest need is money. And I understand that. I can understand a person needs to survive. And in this world that we see today, we see people that are broken by abuse, by addiction, by divorce, by bankruptcy, by sin, by trust. You know, we live in a world that you doesn't even seem like you can trust anyone. You can't even trust the government at some time. You can't even trust there are people who fly planes into buildings and people who we saw last week and a few days ago in Paris that just go out and kill people because they think that's what they're supposed to do. We see suicide rates just getting higher and higher. We see people entering depression so much more regularly. People that are addicts even at a greater rate. The world is broken and it has a great need. But if you ask 100 people that are unbelievers what the need of this world is, you probably come up with 100 different answers. But me and you that are believers know what the real answer is. See, they come and they see Peter and John. Now, I don't know. I like to think, once again, I like to imagine a story that this lame man sitting here, I think he might target Peter and John a little bit. See, Peter and John have become famous. Just weeks ago, maybe days ago, 3,000 people got saved. Just weeks or days ago, they're speaking out in their own language and somehow everybody else is hearing in their own language. Obviously they were talking about it. I mean, obviously they were men, and I don't know if the lame man knew who Peter and John was, but I'm just assuming they did. And he says to him, alms, and Peter says to him, I can't help you with that, but I have something that can help. I want us to remember that the world has a great need, and that great need that they have is Jesus Christ more than anything else. And I want us to understand that how bad the world is. You think of this lame man, how hard and difficult his life was, and that in this short lifetime there is many things that are difficult and hard, but if people leave this world without Jesus Christ, they will die and go to a horrible place called hell and spend all their lives, all of eternity, in that place called hell if someone does not reach them for Jesus Christ. That is the great need of the world. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to see Christ in us. They need to see Christ living through us. And they need us to be able to present them with a powerful gospel message. The thing that changed our lives. We go back and I look at my life growing up. We didn't have much. There's probably a lot of things as a child I said that I needed. I need this or I need that. But I realize now, looking back on my life, the greatest need I had was to be saved from my sins. This morning, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior, the greatest need you have today is to believe on Him, the one who died, was buried, and rose again for your sins. And He died for the sins of mankind so that way you can have a home in heaven. Repent of those sins. Change your way. See, it's amazing that this man is sitting here. He's sitting in front of this gate called Beautiful. And what that gate called Beautiful was entering in was into a religion. And that religion cannot save. That Judaism was never able to save. That Judaism, that law, was pointing people to Jesus Christ. And he realized that day when Peter and John, and Peter looks at him and says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. He had heard that name before. But this is the time that Peter is saying, believe in him. Have faith in him. Believe that he can do that. This morning, the great need of the world today is they need Jesus Christ. The third thing I want you to see is not only what the Christian needs and what the world needs, but I want you to see what the Christian can do about the world's need. I want you to see what the Christian can do about the world's need. We see in verse number 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look unto us. So what can a Christian do to help the world, to help the world's need? See, no one, not only can we said earlier, they need to see the needs of the world, but they can try to help them meet their needs. I don't know about you, sometimes we become insensitive. Sometimes we get tired of getting asked for something so often that we no longer want to help. I think about, I go to the Dollar General right down the street because it's close by. And every single time that I'm there, they ask you if you want to round up your change for some type of good cause. But you know, you hear that so often and so much. You're like, no, I don't want it anymore. I mean, it was this store that asked you to do this and this store that asked you to do this, this store. And what happens there? Is it because I'm an insensitive jerk? No, it's because I've been asked so many times. After a while, it's like, enough is enough. And that's what sometimes happens to us when we see the needs of the world. We turn around and we see over and over how much sin and how much wickedness, and we're like, no, I don't want to help. But see, we have something. Peter says, but such as I have. That lame man that was sitting there had a great need. Yes, he needed to be healed, but his greatest need was to be healed spiritually. And he says, but such as I have. And he says to him, I have something more important, more valuable than alms, more valuable than gold, more valuable than silver. And I want to tell you today that we have something in this world that is more valuable than any type of physical need that can be met. We know Jesus Christ, and we can help bring people to Jesus Christ. This is the point, is what can we do to help others? The great need of this world today is not money. And you see, Peter and John says, I don't have that. It's not about being smart enough. It's not about being talented enough. We don't have anything of substance to offer to this hurting world with the exclusion of the fact that we know Jesus Christ. He says to him in verse number 4, he says, look on us. Now, I wonder how many of us could tell the lost world to look at us. And this hopefully is a convicting thought, because we as Christians have something that the world needs. Can we tell the lost world to look at us so we can point them to Christ? Can the world see Christ in us? Can the world see Christ living through us? Can the world see Jesus Christ in our lives? Peter has no problem. He says, look at us. I want you to look at me. And that's what we need to tell this world. We're supposed to be a daily example, a testimony of the power, how God can change and save lives. He says, look at us. And says in verse number 4, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. He says, I don't have what you think you need, but such as I have, give I thee. I have something that you can use. I want us to understand today. You know, when we look at the needs of the world today, we're overwhelmed. As I said before, people are hurt all around us. Broken homes, addictions, suicides. And we hear stories, and our hearts are overwhelmed and broken. But we have what people need. We want people to look at us so we can point them to Christ. But how many of us are pointing them to Christ? Silver or gold have I none, but such as I have. You know what you have with the power of the Holy Spirit? There's power in the name of Jesus. Look what it says in verse number 6. It said, and then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but as such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And you see what Peter is able to do for him. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. See, there is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you are here and you are lost and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you might feel sorry for that lame man. You might be someone that says, man, that's a shame what that man has gone through, what that man has been put through. But you are in a worse spot today than that lame man is today. That lame man, I believe, is in heaven today. Don't feel sorry. Don't feel bad for him. But consider your own state. Consider your own spot in this life. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you will die and go to a horrible place called hell unless you repent of your sins and cry out to God and ask him to save you from your sins. This morning, are you a Christian? Because silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. This is what you need. This lame man says, the greatest need I have in my life is to receive money so that way I could be able to survive. Or they might say, the greatest need I have is to walk. The greatest need that man had, and it's the greatest need that all of us have, is a Savior. And thankfully, Jesus Christ came and was our Savior. And you see, there is also power, not only in the name of Jesus, but there's power in praising the Lord. Look what it says in verse number 10. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened unto him. Now, this talks about how to praise the Lord. And I think this is where this is saying he got healed and he never got over it. And I think how we can apply this to us today is we've been healed spiritually, and we should never get over it. We should want to praise the Lord. What it says in verse 11, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John," he was looking to Peter and John, "all the people ran together unto them and to the porch," says, "called Solomon's, greatly wondering." And what does Peter do? "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto them, unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk?'" And he says, you know what he does? He gives glory to God. We see here that there is a life that's been transformed, a life that has changed. And what do you see him doing in verse number 9? They see him walking. They see him praising God. Verse 8, he's in the temple. He's walking. He's leaping and he's praising God. All these people are in wonder and all these people are in amazement. And what are they doing? He says, "I'm praising God for what God has done for me." And this is what we need to do. We need to learn to praise God for the fact He has changed our lives. We were sinners. We were headed to hell. But Jesus Christ saved our souls, and no longer are we on that pathway to hell. Instead, we're on our way to heaven. But the problem is so many unsaved people do not see people praising God, do not see lives that are transformed, and do not see people that are pointing people to Jesus Christ. And because of that, they see churches that are dead. People who are unhappy. People who are miserable. People will look worse off than what a lost person is. And why would I want any of that? This morning, there's three things here. Remember what the Christian needs. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you have in the bank. I know we heard the story before about that gentleman who walked in one time walked into the room where the Pope was counting all that money, and the Pope looked at this man and says, "I guess church can't say 'silver and gold have I none anymore, can it?'" And the man says, "No, you can't say that, but you can also say, 'In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk too.'" There's a difference. I don't care who you are. You need the power of God in your life. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, what, saved, baptized in what? Get in your Bible. Learn to examine yourself. Fellowship with other believers. You need God's help. And then continue in your prayers. Are you someone that understands that we need God to come in and we need God to move in, we need God to take over, and that comes through prayer, that comes from being united together in one accord in prayer and seeing the needs of others, not ignoring the needs of others, not passing by them every day saying, "Well, I know they need to be saved, I know they need God's help." No, it's seeing the needs of others and in trying to help meet those needs. Remember, there is those who are unsaved, and you say, "Pastor, sometimes you're hard and difficult to those that are lost." It's because I know what their need is. They need Jesus Christ. They need to understand because of their sins. The Bible says for the wages of sin is death, that there is a eternal death, separation from God forever that they're headed towards unless they receive what I have and what you have and what we have to offer to the world. We have an ability to receive. We have ability to help this world by telling other people about Jesus Christ. But if I wonder how many of us told anyone last week. The lack of the lame people that cannot stand before God like us, there's plenty of those. There's plenty that we see. There's plenty we walk by. There's plenty we know that don't even believe in a God or believe in a false God. But how many of us praised the Lord enough last week to say, "Look what God did to me. God changed my life. God is the one that did this, and He can do this for you too." We have needs as Christians. That need is the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. We have needs when it comes, the world has needs also. They need to hear Christ. "And we that have Him, as such as I have, give I unto thee." Peter did what he was supposed to. He gave what he had. We have the testimony and the story of a transformed life. Just like this man, walking and leaping and praising the Lord. We have a life to tell others about how God changed our life too. Question is, are you telling others? Because what the Christian has can help the need of the world. We can give as much as we want to charities. We can give as much as we want to those that are standing on the side of the streets. But the greatest need they have in their life is to meet Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in praising the Lord. There's power in a transformed life. If we will just give a testimony of what God did for us. This morning, are you doing that with your life? If not, allow God to work in your hearts and minds so you can also be used the same way Peter and John was. Let's go ahead and stay in your seats, but bow your heads for a second.